Hebrews, I guess.
12.
Chapter 12. Verses
1, 2, 3.
1,
2, 3.
1, 2, 3. I read, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. So we are coming at the end of the series, as the series is to be empowered to, or life after Pentecost. And then the last one was empowered to endure. And since I sort of made endurance sports my hobby, Kuhn saw it fitting for me to do this sermon. So, but I have to tell you guys that actually this sermon about enduring, endurance, perseverance, it's been a long way coming for me as well. I actually... God had to have a lot of endurance for me to finally start doing this sermon, because even though Kuhn asked me like 2 months ago, which is not a long time, but actually back in the days, about 14 years ago, when I just stopped my sort of speed skating career and I started working with a sports ministry organization, an older man, he came to me and we started talking, and he was also in ministry and I didn't know him at the time that well. And he just asked me questions like, who are you, what have you done? So I explained to him about my skating stuff and how I was able to do sports longer than any average person. And I was like, oh, this guy, he's a ministry guy, he probably doesn't understand that I like sports so much, which was a struggle for me. But then the funny thing happened is that during that conversation, he sort of made a switch and he made the comment. He said, Jan, you need to preach at my church. And I was like, what? Yeah, you know what it is to endure. And I was like, okay. So it took me 12 or maybe even 14 years, but it's been a long way coming. So here I am, and trying to do this sermon right, because we're in the series. We made a list of things that we are empowered to. Life after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and he empowered us to do stuff. And I brought the list, maybe you can show it to me, of what we've been covering the last few weeks. You know, we are empowered to be united, to reach, to prophesy, to heal, to transform, and to endure. And everything, every time, because I already knew that I was at the end of this series, every time I was like, oh, this is a cool thing to be empowered to do, like to reach people, to prophesy, you know, to heal people. And then, but every time in the back of my mind, I was like, but hey, I'm going to be wrapping this series up, and I have to get you guys excited for the power to endure. Well, here we go. So I'm excited about it because, well, I seem to be good at it, but I don't know if I could get you guys excited. And to be honest, you know, physically, I like endurance sports. But to be honest, like a few years ago, my wife and I, we did one of those spiritual gifting tests. And theologically, there's a lot to say about these things. But my result was, in my top five of things that I was gifted to, was the gift of martyrship. And my wife was like, nope. Let's not do that. And actually, I agreed, right? So it's something nobody looks forward to. Nobody wants to endure stuff. But everybody gets to do their enduring portion sometime in your life. One day, somebody, you know, something will happen and you'll have to endure stuff. And actually, when I was working on this sermon, I was also thinking about this list. And I kind of figured that, you know, it's actually the probably a good thing that we end with endure, because we got you all excited. We got you all excited, hopefully, or at least empowered to, you know, start healing people, to prophesy, to transform, to reach people. And we all want that to happen as a church. But to be honest, if you look at these powers, I think if we really want to step into these things, but if we're not able to endure, they will not take us very far. I mean, look at prophecy, right? I would love to have that, you know, empowerment to prophesy, yeah, be that prophet. But if we look at the Bible, especially Old Testament, if we look at the prophets and we look at the lives they lived, it's not very comfortable, right? You only have to look at Elijah when he was able to bring, or he wasn't able, but he, you know, prayed for fire to come down out of heaven, and that was the biggest highlight of his prophet career, so to say. But then, you know, maybe one or two chapters later, he's alone in a huge depression, asking God to just take his life because he's done with it. He's just done, right? So, and then when we talk about healing, right? You know, we only have to look at the life of Jesus and see, like, he's healing lots of people, but his life wasn't easy, you know? And then we haven't even talked about the apostles, you know, who would reach people and transform people with the gospel. But, you know, the list of Paul is, I'm not even reading it, but it's like, it's not a comfortable life, right? So let's finish this series up with talking about the power to endure, because I've learned through sports, but also through my life in a sports ministry organization, that it's actually cool to be able to endure, right? And it's not fun. I'm not gonna go like, oh yeah, happy day. But yeah, if once you find out that you're able to endure stuff, you can get it through out of that. So what I want to do today is that I want to at least give some how do you say that? I would say hands and feet to what it means. How are you able to endure, right? So the power comes from the Holy Spirit, but we can do stuff to build that endurance inside of us. So let's go back to the text first, because it has a context, of course. So Romans or Hebrews 12, it starts with the word therefore, right? So that's obvious that something has been written before that. So therefore, because, and Romans 11 is I'm mixing stuff up. But Hebrews 11 is that chapter where we read about that cloud of witnesses, those famous heroes of the faith, right? The Moses, Abraham, that kind of people who are known for their faith. And so that's where this is coming from. And actually, in chapter 11, it also says, even though they had to go through hardships and stuff, they kept loyal to the faith. So that's where this verse coming from. So therefore, since they have done it, and since they have been able to do it, we should also persevere and raise we should also, I'm just going to read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So, you know, it's coming, right? If we're going to run that race, we need perseverance. Well, I know a little bit about racing, and racing long races as well. So I just want to draw a little bit from that experience and share some tips and tricks. And then I really want to talk about why we want to endure, but I'll get to that. So first, I think if we talk about enduring stuff, one thing we cannot do without is a vision or a purpose. We need to know why it's for. And so in this text, actually, it's pretty easy to find that vision. And it says in verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right? So Jesus knew what he was doing. He was doing a lot of stuff, healing, prophesying, all kinds of crazy wonders. But he knew it. He knew why he was doing it. He was doing it for the joy that was set before him, that he would at one day be at the right hand of God. And therefore, he was able to also live the life of endurance in a sense. Like, Jesus' life wasn't comfortable. He was traveling around. He was kicked out of synagogues. He was at a point of people wanted to stone him, right? It was not a comfortable life. And I think most of us will know that. But just that, I was just thinking about that joy that was set before him. I mean, I think we all know it as Christians. That's the end goal, right? The joy, that going to heaven part. In the end, you know, everything will be made clear, that hope that is set before us. We got that. But how often do we really think about it? As in, how often is it like really set before us? And actually, for me, sometimes it's a struggle. As a Christian, I was raised a Christian. I always say I gave my life to Christ when I was 9. So, like, Christianity and that going to heaven part is so logical that I don't always think about it. And actually, not so long ago, I made a new friend, and he came to the Next Move office, the place where I live, and he was looking for, well, I don't know, context probably. Anyway, so he just became a Christian, right? Not so long ago, super excited. And you know, every time I meet somebody who just became a Christian, he has that fire, right? You feel it. Oh, I want to be close. So I wanted to be close to this guy. So we kept in touch. We had some good connection points. We both like to ride bikes and watch bike races. So that was good. But so I kind of wanted to figure out what brought in that fire, that feeling of, I want to be close to that guy because he has something. And so actually, my wife and I, we were planning to go do a mission trip, which didn't come through, but we wanted to do a mission trip this summer. So I invited him to come to this mission trip. I was like, oh, if he's on that mission trip, that will be fire, right? So I invited him, and actually, so he came up with the best excuse ever not to go. Basically, I've never heard it before, but he said to me, well, Jan, yeah, well, it's in August, right? So I asked him like somewhere at the beginning of this year, so like March or something. And he said, well, I'm not sure if we're ever going to be here at that point. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, I think Jesus has come back then. And I was like, at first I was a bit like, But then I got to, because I knew him a bit, and I was like, yeah, but that's part of why you're so excited about Christ, because you are expecting him to come back. You got your eyes on the prize, as we say in sports. But you know what's coming. And I mean, it's not August yet, so it could happen, right? I'm hoping for it. Actually, since he said that to me, I've said numerous times, actually, to him, oh, I so hope he's right. You know? But especially in those times that are hard. Oh, wow. If he was right, man, it's just going to end soon. It just gave me hope that, you know, one day everything will be good. And hopefully, soon. Right? So, and I mean, in sports, it's similar, right? I do a lot of endurance, but oh no! Well, it's not. Let's not talk about me in this one. I have an example of a triathlete, and triathletes are even more crazy than I am, probably, because they do three sports. And anyways, and I know this guy. He was the top of the. He was the best in the Netherlands probably at that time, and he was a Christian. But so he told me this about vision and knowing why you're doing it. And he said, well, I qualified for the World Championships in Kona. So that's the Hawaii triathlon. That's the when you get there, you're good. So, and but also you have to train a lot. So he put a lot of effort into getting there, training hours, neglecting his family, just like sacrifices, a lot of sacrifice. And then he came there, actually, and he, so they start swimming and then cycling and then running. And so he came there, but there were some issues, right, at home. Stuff that wasn't, he never told me details, so I cannot even give you them. But stuff was not going very well at home. So he was there, all prepared, super fit, ready to go. So swimming was okay. But then cycling, they do 160 kilometers of cycling, just crazy. And you're just sitting like that alone. So you're just alone with your thoughts, right? And that's where the problems start. And that's, he said, at the end of the cycling, I gave up. I stopped. And people asked him why. I said, well, I just start asking myself, why am I doing this? Why? And I couldn't give a good answer because I had problems at home that needed fixing, right? So if we're talking about endurance, enduring the faith, if we're going for these cool gifts that we had, if we want to heal people, prophesy, get people to know Jesus, right? We have to know ourselves why the faith is so important to us and what our eyes on the prize thing is. And that's, one day we'll be in heaven together, right? I mean, we're saying goodbye to people today, but we'll see them again, right? That's our big comfort. I mean, there's so many things in life that happen. If I couldn't have said, oh, but you know, one day in heaven, everything will be good. I don't know how I would have processed it or gone through it. So first thing, vision or purpose, very important. So think about that, right? How often do we put our eyes on the prize? If that is something for you today, you know, find a Bible verse that really speaks to you about that prize thing, the thing where we're going to. And, you know, put it up on your bed, above your bed or whatever. Just get reminders. Okay, the second thing I want to talk about is discipline, right? We all know it takes discipline to endure, right? But I want to put a little bit of a different light on discipline because actually, when I tell people about my what I do as sports, like the endurance running and stuff, and the trainings and the hours you put into it, people will come to me and say like, "Well, you must be a very disciplined person." And usually I would say, yeah. But you can only ask my wife and say, like, well, if it comes to sports, he's very disciplined. But, right? So I've actually, in preparing this sermon, questioned myself, is there actually something as a disciplined person who is a person who's very disciplined? And I know they are there, right? Some people are very disciplined. And they can do stuff because I don't know how they do it. But most of us struggle with discipline. Even in the running sometimes, right? So I'm training for this big race and I need to do a lot of kilometers in the past few weeks. I would trick myself into making more kilometers, right? I would go to my job on Monday, bring my running shoes. So I run back home on Monday after my job, which makes sure that I will run back the other day again because my bike is still at the office, right? And then when I have to go for a long run, I make sure I put like from A to B and home, right? And then I make sure that when I'm at B, I already made the detour already so that there's no shortcuts home, right? I'm not that disciplined, right? And I think most of us are not. But talking about discipline, I want to put a different light on it. So this verse, it's actually when you continue reading Hebrews 12, it says, verse 5 and 6, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one who loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So discipline is not only something, I think in modern day society, like we have this picture of if we want it hard enough and if we work hard enough, we'll get it. And then that's what we call discipline, right? Well, there's this sort of famous show in the Netherlands, television show. It's called Kamp van Koningsbrug. It's about normal civilians going through the special forces training of the military, and see if they're hard enough. Right? It's fun to watch and scary sometimes. But the thing is, there's this guy who leads, who organizes those challenges, and he's interesting. He wrote a book, and I read it, and he actually had the same thing about discipline, because
know, people say, oh, you must be in the army. You're a special force. You must be super disciplined. And he's sort of similar. Like he said, well, to be honest, I just do what my commander tells me to do. And that's my discipline. I know that when my commander tells me to get up or, you know, beats the hell out of me in practice or in training, it's for the cause that I'm going for, right? So as he said, as soon as I go home, I'm not super disciplined. I still get up at 7 because I'm used to, and I still like to do exercise because it's just in my system for years, right? If I don't, that's a problem. But he said, discipline is something that's not, I don't put it on myself. It's been put on me by my commander, right? And so this verse says something along the lines similar, right? It's God putting discipline on us. And if we, so I will get into that a little bit more later, but if we're talking about how can we grow, endure, the ability to endure stuff, we need to make sure that discipline is being put on us. And there's different ways to do it. God will help you do that for sure. But practically, I know a guy who always said, he taught me this really cool quote. He said, no Bible, no breakfast. Right? Just find these, I would say, cheat codes, right? If you're a gamer, but find these cheats, these workarounds, right? If Bible reading is hard for you, just find your roommate or your wife or your spouse, say like, hey, no Bible, no breakfast, right? And his wife would keep him to it, right? So he would go to the office sometimes without breakfast because he didn't make time. But no Bible, no breakfast. It works for some people, right? If you want to really study the Bible, if that's a goal for you, or if you think like, hey, I really study, right? Just put it on your calendar. Put it in, I don't know, like, I don't know what kind of jobs you are and how structured you are, but if you just block a time in your agenda, like this is my, and then not, don't do it like from 7 to 9 in the morning if you're not a morning person, or 10 to 12 if you're an evening person. Just say like, hey, so working in ministry, probably this is more a thing, but I know a guy, he would have his secretary say like, hey, I want at least twice a week blocks of 2 hours in my agenda for studying scripture. And then his secretary would just execute that. So he would have to. He has that time, right? So it's working that kind of routines, probably. So if I talk about discipline, we say discipline, I probably would say routines. Things that will get you to do it automatically, like these guys in the army. They don't even think about cleaning their guns anymore, right? They just do it every time they get home from a mission. They just clean the stuff and then go to sleep. They don't even think about it because it's becoming habits. Well, that's the challenge, probably. If we're talking about being able to endure, you need to build routines in moments that you're good, right? If you've got energy, if your life's okay, if you're not having so many troubles, think about the routines you can build up now so that in the times when it's hard, you'll have them already. Okay, so the third point is community, right? So I don't know if you've paid attention to the verse that well. I had to study it, of course. So I don't know, but Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. So you know what I'm going at. It's plural. It's not let you do this, you do that, let you figure it out, or I do this, or it's us and we. To be honest, I have done some football in my life, but the sports I really was good at was individual sports, speed skating, running, that kind of stuff. But I couldn't have done it alone, never. And any professional athlete in any individual sport says, I have a team. Nobody will say, it's all me. Nobody can ever say that. You at least need a physiotherapist or a coach, but that's even. So let's be honest, right? There's gonna be times that you are tough, that you're at a low point in your life. You're like, ah, do I really have to endure all this? Then you need community, right? And if you have to go and look for community at that point, that's tough, right? Because, I mean, to be honest, if somebody would knock at my door and say like, hey, we don't know each other, but I've got problems, can you help me? And they're huge. I'll try, but you know. So like, I just love what just happened here this morning. Like these people came in about a year ago and really felt community. So I think this place, this church has that, right? This is a place where we can build relationships, build friendships, and know that when there is trouble, you know, we want to help you, right? And so there's not so much to say about, it's pretty obvious, right? It's, we need each other. Faith is not, you cannot just, we cannot just do it alone, right? So if we go out and we reach people, for instance, right? You come into this, maybe somebody in your studies or in your job, and you start talking about the faith, and you're like, oh, this is cool. And then you have to start walking that way with him. That might be very long and tough because you want him to be a Christian, but not everybody goes that smooth, right? So, but sometimes you're just like, hey, well, I've brought you this far, right? But you still have a way to go, but I don't know how to do it. But I have this guy in church who I think really connects with you. Can I pass it on, right? Or hey, I've been praying for healing, but maybe just come to church and we can pray with more people. Or, you know, so I just want to encourage us, including myself. I have to say that I'm not the very most social community person, but let's do this together, right? So if we're talking about being empowered to do all these stuff, we have to work on doing it together. And let's also go broader than us as a church, but just think about like the body of Christ, all Christians that we know. We can do this together, but we have to do it together. All right. Now, having said those practical stuff, I don't know. When I was preparing, I was like, okay, yeah, this could easily become one of those sermons that you go through like, oh, you have to just endure it, you know, just endure it a bit and then everything will be fine. And when you look back on it, happy clappy, right? But I don't think it does any justice to people who are in a tough spot right now. And so I wanted to think about that. So so we have to talk about why, right? Why do we have to endure it? I mean, actually, quite a while back in this church, I was part of a home group and somebody was really suffering, as in really a bad situation. She was alone, or she ended up being alone here, and she was having a form of cancer, and it was really tough. But she was in our home group, and she said something that I kept for me for a long time. And she says, "Well, we're talking about grace. You know, God's grace is enough." Is one of those things that we easily say, right? Similar to, you just need to endure, right? And she said, "Well, Jan." Probably I was the one who said it, so because anyway. So she said, Jan, you know, sometimes grace means that God gives you the ability to just be able to get up in the morning, right? Not more than that. Sometimes we're that low, right? And then being able to endure means, I don't know what's happening, guys, but, you know, I'll just try to get out of bed, make it to that first cup of coffee, and then see how it goes. So that's, you know, how deep endurance can go, or the need for that. So I don't want to leave that. So but why? I think I found sort of three good explanations of why we need to endure. And the first one is because the Father knows best, right? We've read those verses. About God disciplining us. And then in verse 7 and 8, it says, God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Yeah, so I don't know. So I have kids, and sometimes, you know, they come to you and they say like, Daddy, can I do this? Or can I have another candy? Or can I watch my screen for 5 hours? And I'm like, nope. Why? Why, Daddy? Why? Why? And sometimes I try to explain, you know, it's not good for you. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, but trust me, it's not good for you. Sometimes you just go to your kids and you say, well, I'm your father, I know best, right? And I truly feel that God sometimes does that to us, right? And I've had my struggles, and to be honest, I'm in sort of a situation where I'm like, hey, why is this happening? And I can say that usually, hopefully, if we make it to the end before Christ comes, we'll be like, oh yeah, so now it makes sense. Or maybe even years later, you experience stuff, or you're like, hey, now it makes sense. And even in sports, sometimes, like, I don't know, you always lose more than you win, right? And if you question every time where you lose, why do we lose? Why do we lose? It's just because you learn stuff, right? And so the first thing is, and it's hard to grasp in a sense, to say like, yeah, Father knows best. Well, my kids don't agree with that all the time, right? And I think you can sort of complain to God a bit. But if we got that vision of, right, okay, but God will bring us to heaven in the end, if we know that, we've got that in our minds, then it will also be easier to say like, okay, but, you know, Daddy knows best. Okay, I'll trust him, right? And I promise God will never let you down. I've never experienced that before. So, okay, so, and then the second thing is that endurance leads to hope. So Kuhn, I don't know if you guys were here last week, but he sort of stole my verse. So no. But he also already mentioned it in Romans 5. It says, Romans 5, we start at verse 3. I'll do this one. It's a different translation. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's again, one of those things that when you put it in this context, I don't think I have to add a lot to it, because it's pretty easy to understand, at least for me. I just know from a sporting perspective, but also a life perspective, but I'll give you the sporting example, that when I put a lot of training in, I'll get better, right? So perseverance leads to character. It grows. Something will grow. And then, you know, that the hope will come after that. So once you start like, oh, but hey, I've been going through this and now I'm stronger, you know what? I might be able to win that race, right? So I know that in sports, when I endured all these trainings, which were not always fun, and you know, sometimes my parents would have to really push me to go, but I knew that if I do it, I would get better, and sometimes I would feel it, or the numbers on the measuring things would tell me to that I was getting better, and then the hope would grow. Right, so sometimes God will let you endure stuff so that you will be stronger and that your hope will grow. The hope for what's coming, for the hope to see him in heaven, but also the hope that you can see like, hey, well, I can, if I pray, I can see people healed. If I read scripture, I can give people words of wisdom or that stuff. So that's, you know, and when, to be honest, the moments that I've learned that prayer and Bible, reading your Bible and that stuff, which is discipline, not always easy, when that was the moments I learned that was valuable to me, that it really had power, that was power in reading scripture and reading and praying, was when I was down, right? When life is good, well, you know, we try to pray and we say, thank you, Lord. But when life is down, that's probably the moment when you really pray, right? When you're like, okay, God, I don't know who's going to fix this. Not me. Right? That's my prayer sometimes, yeah. But yeah, that's where but then when God comes through, you know, next time you'll be like, oh, wait, this is a tough situation, but I got God. I know how this goes, right? So that's what I mean, that hope will grow through endurance. Okay. So, and then the last one is when you are enduring stuff. This sounds a bit hard, probably. So I would never say it to somebody but directly, but from a stage, it's easier. It's so much bigger than you. And I mean this in a very positive way. And actually, I used a verse that I'm going to read in my previous sermon, which is a long time ago, so nobody remembers. So that's good. But it says, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4, or 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 10 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." Guys, this whole story where we are a part of as Christians, it's so much bigger than us, right? And what I like about this verse is that it says we are, there's a treasure that's really, like, that's what God is. God is the treasure, right? It's a huge treasure. It's beautiful to see. It's shiny, but it's in a jar of clay, right? And I truly believe that it's been put in a jar of clay because that will draw the attention to the treasure more. Right? We could have had this shiny box, right, where you, the pirate treasure box with good locks on it, and that's already cool, and you can close it. But this is a jar of clay because it's just too big, right? And to be honest, being in a situation where you have to endure, it's tough, right? It's not fun. But even in that situation, even if you just feel like that stupid jar of clay, right, was not meant to hold any treasure, we are holding that treasure, right? And so, I mean, jars of clay, if you drop them there, they break, right? And we have some clay pots right now, actually. Anyway, I don't want to drop them in because they're looking really beautiful. But it says, like, it's what that says. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not. It's that somehow these jars of clay are also really, really strong, right? There's different types of jars of clay, probably, but some of them are really strong. And that's how I see this verse. We're strong. It's not very beautiful. It's not perfect. It can have its cracks and stuff. But, you know, they'll hold under pressure. And that's what I want to encourage us, or at least that's what I think it means to have that power to endure. It's that, you know, that self-knowledge that we're not perfect. It's not glamorous lifestyle of a Christian. It's not getting a lot of likes on your social media. It's not all that, but it's when we're under pressure, being able to say, like, hey, but I'm not that beautiful, but look at my treasure. Look at what I have, what keeps me up. And I mean, I've heard very sad stories of people sometimes just on the news, but just also somewhat close to people that, you know, go through really tough situations. And sometimes, because they're not Christians, sometimes I was like, I would not be able to carry this if I was not a Christian, right? I can see your why you're depressed, man. I get it. And then I would say, yeah, well, what's your answer? I say, yeah, well, you're not going to like this, but Jesus, man, if I would be in your situation, the only thing that would keep me standing is Jesus, is that eyes on the prize thing, right? So that's it. We're talking about enduring. It's not going to be fun, but I put the three things, the list thing. So depending on where you are in life, maybe you're just good, right? Your life is good. Your studying is going well. Family's good. Finance is good, whatever. And you're like, hey, but I've been, you know, I felt like God was speaking to me in this series about some stuff, prophecy, healing, transformation, whatever. And I really want to step into that, right? Then I want to encourage you to start thinking about these why things. What does it take for me to have that ability to endure? So, what? Sorry, you know. So what? So the vision, the discipline, or the routines, I would say, and the community. Do I have those things in place so that when I start walking in these powers, I will be able to endure? So second, the whys, right? If you are in this time where you feel like, hey, it's not going very smooth for me. I mean, we just heard an example, but it can be just your studies not going well, or just finance struggles, or just sickness, or just problems at your work, whatever. Think about these whys. Why am I, like, I mean, you can cry that out. Right? Why, God? Why? Just write these down and just think about these. Is it the first? Is it, I just have to trust you, God? You know best. Probably always good to do that. And then, hey, how does this help me to produce hope? In the end, out of this pain, suffering, endurance, there will be this hope that I can grow. And then third, it's way bigger than you, in a gentle way, not saying like, hey, don't be a sissy, right? It's bigger than you, but saying, hey, it's that treasure that I have that I can show even in my struggles. Can I be able to show people around me this treasure that I have? So I just want to close off, and I just want to encourage you guys that if one of these things speaks to you, that you can go to the prayer team. They will probably gather up again like we did last times, hopefully. So the prayer team will come and stay here, send here somewhere. And then first of all, so like we did last two times, if you like, hey, I want to also pray for people, I feel like I have power to do it, then you can join somebody from the prayer team and they'll team up to do so. And then second, if you are in a difficult situation right now, if you're struggling, you need that power to endure, because in the end, all these powers are given to us, right, by the Holy Spirit. So just come and let the prayer team pray for you so that you'll be open to receive it. And second, if you're like, hey, yeah, I was touched by one of these sermons before and I want to be able to endure it or build the endurance that I need to do so, then just also come and let somebody pray for you. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for enduring my service.